Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. There's no sermon today. I wish that there were, but, well, things happened. Let me try to explain. We've been listening to Paul's letter to the church in Rome for a few weeks now, and I haven't preached on it. But parts of it we've read sort of every week. And last week I commented on it because sometimes the language gets somewhat dense and dramatic, and I just can't let that go by without some kind of comment or clarification, as much for myself as for you. So I did that last week. I clarified a little. And so this week I thought, okay, enough already. Enough with the bits of commentary as we hear the letter in church. It's time to preach. I felt called to it. Compelled, even. The Pauline epistle to the Romans. The longest of Paul's letters, the least disputed. And there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Paul wrote this letter. Well, dictated it. Greg's here, he'll call me on that. He dictated it to be accurate. Written in the late 50s, this is considered Paul's masterpiece, his Mona Lisa, his Sistine Chapel, his Hotline Bling. This is Paul's magnus opus. And Sunday, July 23rd, is the day I am going to preach it. It has wisdom and insight. I quote, "Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." It has brilliance. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." See? It's really good stuff. So I shared my plans with a couple of friends, Priscilla and Aquila. I often talk to them as a sounding board. And they didn't seem to share my excitement or my sense of immediacy. "Really?" Priscilla said. "Paul? You want to preach Paul and all of his wordy words? I mean, you know that it's summer, right?" I said, "Yeah, but the words, they're powerful." "Eh, they're old," offered Aquila. "Well, sure, but most things in the Bible are old." "Yeah, but they're from the 50s, you know, not the fun do-up 50s, but, you know, the actual 50s. The world's changed a lot in 2 millennia. "And the words don't really make a lot of sense," chimed in Priscilla. "But that's exactly why I want to preach it, because we get lost in the words. See, I want to explain to people that Paul is writing to this dynamic but divided church of Jews and non-Jews who had all come to believe in Jesus, people with a variety of competitive insights and experiences, sometimes given to infighting, a group that had fallen out with the government, were considered radical and even dangerous. Doesn't that sound like a little bit familiar? Okay, and never mind the whole letter. How about just a little passage for the day? Paul tells the people that our lives are meant to be more than the experience of flesh, of life and death, that we're meant to be aware of the spirit of life, the spirit of God that connects us to God intimately as a parent and a child. We're meant to recognize that we are connected not only to creation, but also to the Creator. And that we are inheritors of creation along with Jesus. Creation's not done, but ongoing. And the difficulties going on right now are part of creation, part of the process, like labor pains. And eventually will lead to our participation in creation, which is the actual fulfillment of creation, that we participate, that we are children of God, at one with God. You can't see it, but it's true. And as we believe it and live it, others will believe it and live it. And it will be, we're children of God. We're active in and part of the ongoing creation. How can you not be excited about that? How can I not preach that? Yeah, maybe Norm. I think you should do something nice with the psalm. Or Jacob. Maybe leave the theological gobbledygook for another time. Like a seminar or a lecture. Yeah, you know, I'm not really much for being told that I'm a child. Like even a child of God. Because it kind of makes me feel like I have no power. You know, it kind of feels like a cop-out. Like, ooh, there's nothing that I can do about racism or poverty because I'm just a child. Just let it go, Norm. Right, and honestly, Norm, hope in things unseen, it's kind of ridiculous. I think it's time that we're all done with the pie-in-the-sky optimists who always promise but never deliver. I mean, surely Jesus has another parable where he's a terrible farmer. Preach that. And so I decided that I wouldn't preach Romans. I mean, how do you disagree with Priscilla and Aquila? I mean, they are wise, modern voices. No point in saying something that nobody wants to hear. I figured I'll think of something as the week progresses. Priscilla. Priscilla had a hard week. On Monday, things were pretty good. Although late in the season, she was ready to open a really big community garden. Gardening, sustainable food, nutrition, her passions. And it bothered her that so many people in the apartments in her area had no access to garden plots, no way to grow their own food. Many of these people lived so close to the poverty line that they couldn't spend extra on fresh produce. And they didn't know how to prepare it, and they simply didn't understand what a difference a vegetable garden could make to families' health and families' food budgets. But she'd done it. She found a church with a whole lot of grass and convinced them to let her turn their grass into gardens. She'd gone to City Hall. She got the necessary permissions. She found a supplier of loam and good soil. She was promised plants and seeds late in the season, but she knew how to plant in July and still get a harvest. And so on Saturday, she and 30 apartment dwellers were going to start planting. That's part of why she wasn't particularly enthused by Norm's desire to preach about Paul. I mean, what's with the whole hope in things unseen, be patient thing? No, she had plenty of patience. I mean, she was a gardener after all. But she liked to make things happen. And she had. This garden was happening. And it would not be unseen. It would be seen and felt and tasted. And she'd done it. Yes, others had helped, but it was her vision, her efforts that made it come together. Enough already with spirit and unseen. This was sweat and toil and right before your eyes. On Tuesday, she got a call from the church. They had decided to sell their property. They'd kept it quiet, and the sale had happened much faster than anyone had imagined. In fact, the sale was going to be completed by the end of the week, which meant that Priscilla and 30 others would have no garden to plant on Saturday. On Wednesday, Priscilla stopped crying. She sat in her garden and wondered how she could have failed so colossally. She felt sorry for those people who wouldn't get to taste vegetables grown in their own gardens. She felt sorry for the suppliers who were feeling good about helping a worthy cause. And she felt sorry for herself. On Thursday, she realized that it was the 10th anniversary of her grandmother's death. It just sort of hit her. The one who taught her how to plant and weed and harvest. The one who instilled in her a sense of being at one with creation when she was in the garden. She thought about that stuff that Norm wanted to preach. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit hearing, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. That's how she felt in the garden, a child of God, an heir of God, working on creation. And what else was there that he wanted to talk about? Living in the spirit, hope in things unseen. When she thought about her grandma, she felt connected to her in spirit. And it made her feel better, less disappointed in herself, more determined to figure out another way. Maybe Norm should preach about that. how we can live with the limitations of the flesh, failures and setbacks, or how we can live in the Spirit and look beyond them, taking our inspiration and strength from those who have gone before and may be unseen, but are still felt and loved. On Friday, Mike called and said, "You know, I was thinking, I got a whole bunch of wood, and you got soil and seeds coming. What if we built window and balcony boxes, and people could take them home and have their own tiny gardens? I mean, it wouldn't be the same, but it would still be something." Priscilla knew then that Norm should preach on Paul, on hope, on the futility and disappointment that leads to more and new creation, on the need for us sometimes to be children and accept help from others, even from God. She dialed Norm's number at the church and left a message. Aquila had a much less dramatic week. She mostly watched TV. There was something on the news about Elon Musk advising Congress on the need for regulations around artificial intelligence, how it was fast approaching a time when computer brains could be of great help to humanity or a great risk for humanity, and that we just couldn't sit back and let it happen. We needed to be involved. That's a little scary, as she thought about it. Her mind went from driverless cars to the way that her little niece talks to Siri on the iPhone like she's a real person. And she wondered what it meant to human relationships when we can have one-way relationships with technology. Do we even need human relationships? What becomes of social interaction when I can get in the car and have it drive me to the beach? Or talk to a speaker in my house and have pizza delivered to my front door by a drone? Do we matter? Do I matter? And then she thought about that passage in Paul that Norman wanted to preach. That if we live by the flesh, we know only the flesh. But if we live by the Spirit, there's more. That we're meant to live by the Spirit. Interactions between human beings are spiritual. It's not just about getting what the flesh wants or needs delivered to your front door. It's about more. And we are part of creation. Creation that's ongoing and probably includes things that the Bible never thought of specifically, like environmental changes or artificial intelligence. And that we're meant to be actively involved, not just sitting back and letting it happen, but daring to engage in deep questions. And remembering that we are co-inheritors, not solo actors. That we are children of God, not the only child of God. But that we are in all of these endeavors with God and with others. Oh, and as she thought about that, there was this sense of humility, but also a feeling of hope that just seemed to overwhelm her. Until she started to think about politics in the world and the anger and the denial and the fake news and the blatant pandering on all sides, each one sacrificing reason and truth to win points and favor. I mean, everything was so dramatically right or wrong, and there was no common ground as factions fight for the destruction of their rivals, regardless of the ideals they espouse. And the jokes were wearing thin and the anger mounting and the rights disappearing. While Aquila was unfriending people on Facebook, others were spray-painting hate on building walls and responding to every question as a personal attack. It was hard to imagine how this humanity was going to be part of anything positive, creative, or hopeful. And then she thought again about that paragraph that Norm wanted to preach. What did it say? "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains." Maybe Paul's onto something. Norm could preach about how things are tough, but that we should recognize this as labor pains. that something new is being brought forth, and that these labor pains are invitations for us to stand up and be counted, to be revealed as children of God, humble and loving, compassionate, and aware of ourselves as part of creation with everything that God has created. Responsible not just for feeding our own wants and perceived needs, but for engaging with others. Other people, other cultures, other opinions, other. Seriously, Norm should preach on that, because that makes sense. It's hopeful, and it invites more than just sitting around waiting for things to happen. Creation continues, and opting out is not an option. Aquila went to the phone. So this week, I spent some time with people, moments of their lives. I spoke with families whose love would now reach beyond life and death. I talked with an old man about forgiving the past and living in the present. I engaged with a group of women about the nature of evil in the world and how we can respond. I played with a baby. I sat in the backyard and enjoyed my birds. I saw a movie. I read a book. And I just could not figure out what to preach if I couldn't preach Paul. I was at a loss. This morning, I came to church early, and there were two voicemails waiting for me, both imploring me to preach on Paul. Sadly, I didn't have time to write anything, which is why there's no sermon today. I'm sorry. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, remind us that as people of faith, opting out is not an option. Remind us that we are gloriously, responsibly part of creation, that we are meant to take an active part. So God, inspire us. Strengthen us, take away our fear, and remind us again that we are never alone. Together, we are children, your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.